Praise God. Pastor Henry.
Bless the Lord. Thank you very much, Pastor. Bless the Lord, everyone. We are so glad to be here again this morning to give God the glory and the praise you unto his holy name. So glad that you are part of us this morning. Trust that you are sharing your telephone with others as we worship the Lord together in the beauty of holiness. I'd like to speak to us today on the passage that was read by our sister Henry, and using for our topic is God is on our side. That's the topic we're going to use today. God is on our side. God is on your side as we look on this passage of scripture. Once again, I would like to apologize for Pastor Gunter, who's not with us this morning, but I'm sure that you will hear Pastor Gunter not too long from now. Bless the Lord. We have listened to the reading of God's word from Deuteronomy chapter 30, reading from verse 11 to verse 20. And it's a rather interesting passage of scripture because it speaks to us about the mind of God concerning us. And I'm glad this morning to tell you that we serve a God who is mindful of all of us. Amen. He's interested in you, he's interested in me, and he has demonstrated that in more ways than once. One of the more known ways in which God has done that is the golden text of the Bible that says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is a clear demonstration of the heart of God towards us. And we are seeing that in this passage of scripture also that is read to us today by our sister. But I would like to remind all of us here that God knows the heart of man. God knows, he understands the heart of man inside out. And one of the things that God understands very well about you and me is that we are full of excuses. We are ready to make excuse for just about everything. But I would like to remind all of us also that God is on our side. Yes, God understands our heart. God understands that we are full of excuses. We want to find somewhere to hide. We want to find somewhere to go. We want to find some way to go from the presence of the Lord. But the word tells us that even if we make our bed in hell, the Lord is there. I want to say to the church again that the Lord is on our side. Friends, if you are visiting for the first time, if you are listening to us for the first time, I would like to extend this word to you that God is on your side. God is mindful of you. And no matter how much you try to sidestep him, no matter how much you try to get out of his way, he is still looking for you. This is the God that we serve. And we have seen in his word where he has demonstrated his love for us in so many different ways. And it is for us to realize that we should not be running from him because he is looking out for our interests. God is on our side.
Amen.
And if you remember the reading of Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, 3 and 4. It reminded us that God must be true and every man must be a liar. It means that God is going to make sure that whatever decision he makes, he must be in the right. He must be in the right at all times. But at the same time, as much as God wants to be in the right, he don't want you and me to be in the wrong. And therefore, he, his interest in us is demonstrated in so many different ways, that he is making sure that you and I find the right path. And I bless his holy name for showing that love and that mercy towards me. And I'm sure that he's doing the same thing for you as we speak this morning. Therefore, when we think about what the word said to us, let's look at it again, because the passage that was read from by our sister. Verse 11 said, "For this commandment which I commanded thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off." That is what it says here. The word of God is not hidden from thee. As Moses addressed this company of people before they go over to Jordan, informing them of the mind of God towards them, and how important it is that they should keep the commandments of God intact so that they might please the Father as they go along. He is reminding them that God has given his word, which is not hidden from them. The word of God is known among them. Is known among them. And when we think this morning that the word of God is known among all of us here, God's word is not hidden from any of us. It is well known among us. The truth is, God's word is being preached every single day. Every single day it is on the radio. Every single day it is on the television. Every single day there are those who are witnessing. Every single day it is in the Bible, if you have one. It is on the telephone, if you have one. Every single day, somebody is saying something about the Lord. His word is not hidden from us. And even us here in this church, we are making sure that every person gets the word of God.
Amen.
This morning, we are coming to you in your living rooms, in your car, in the comfort where you are. Maybe some of you might be even in your beds at this time. God is making sure that his words get across to you so that you will not have an excuse that you did not hear the word of God. Listen to what God said also in verse 12. Now we're talking about Deuteronomy chapter 30. Listen to what God said in verse 12 and 13. It is not in heaven, speaking about his word, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. What a thought. The word of God is not in heaven. God has not trapped his word in heaven that we don't hear, are saying, how can we hear that word? Who will go up to heaven and bring it down so that we will be able to hear it? God has made it possible so that we don't have to think about going up to heaven to hear God's word. God's word is available. Hallelujah. He makes it available. Listen to what verse 13 says. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Is that overseas that we have to get a visa to go overseas in order to get the word of God? It is right where we are. It is right where we are. The word of God is available for us. And God said, I am making my word available to you so that you may understand my thoughts, and you may see where I am going, and you may see the level of interest that I have towards you. Brothers and sisters, friends, I would like to remind you about something in Titus. Something in Titus. Titus tells us, Titus chapter 2, and verse 11. Listen to what it says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What is it that God has done? God has commissioned grace. God has commissioned grace to go to every man. God said to grace, visit every man. And not only that, you're going to visit every man, but you're going to take something along with you, grace. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Grace is bringing salvation. It is not appearing unto every man empty-handed. It is bringing salvation along with it. And so we cannot say we did not hear the word of God. We cannot say it is overseas and we can't hear it. We cannot say it is in heaven and we cannot reach it. God has purposed grace to come to where we are. And that's why if you're in your living room, grace is looking for you. If you're on your job, grace is looking for you. Regardless of where you are, grace has commissioned by God to find you. Hallelujah. And bring to you the word of God. And bring to you salvation whereby you must be saved. We read also in Matthew 24:14, where God said, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. God, his purpose, is furnishing all that is necessary so that man will have no excuse. What a thoughtful God. What a thoughtful God. And he is doing it out of the love of his heart. He is on our side. He is making sure that you and I understand his word. He's making sure that you and I hear his word. He's making sure that you and I understand where he's going and how mindful he is towards you and me. Hallelujah. So we ask ourselves a question. What is it? What is it that God wants? What is it that God wants me to do by telling me that his word is not in heaven?
that we have to go up here to get it, or overseas, that we have to get a visa to go for it, but it is not by us making it available. What is it that God wants? Listen to verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16. Listen to what God is interested in you and I to do. Verse 16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Yes, the Lord was addressing the children of Israel, but the word is applicable to you and I, because we are looking forward to our promised land. We are looking forward to be with Jesus ultimately. And therefore God is preparing us for that time when we will celebrate the reunion with our Savior. God is telling us what he is required from us here in verse 16. You know, the psalmist said something. Psalms 34 verse 7. It said something to us. And it tells us that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. But let's hold that verse for a while. Let's hold that verse for a second. Let's go to Psalms 51. Psalms 51, verse 17. It tells us that the sacrifices of God is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, thou wilt not despise. How can we adhere to what this verse said here, verse 16, unless we have a broken and a contrite heart? This is the crux of the matter. In order for us to please God here in verse 16, our heart needs to be broken. We need to have a contrite heart. We need, as Jesus taught his disciples and others on the mount in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. We need to have a heart, hallelujah, that is broken enough, humble enough, prepared enough to accept. Accept the word of God right here in 16. I read it for you again, what God wants us to do. Verse 16, in that I command thee this day. It's a commandment coming from God. Think about that. It is a commandment coming from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This day, to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whatsoever shall thou goest to possess it. The Lord is entreating us. The Lord is asking us, hallelujah, to love him with all our heart. The Lord is asking us to serve him as our God. But as I said to you before, we need a broken and a contrite heart in order to follow the Lord here. If our heart is stiff, if our heart is hard, if we don't feel the need to surrender to our God, we will not be able to follow what he says here in verse 16. The Lord is asking us, hallelujah, asking us to follow him. But it needs to entertain what is called a broken and a contrite heart. David said, a broken and a contrite heart thou will not despise. And I said to you, God is on our side. God is speaking like a father speaking to his children, entreating us to do the right thing. You many, many years, you might be listening to the word of God, preach here, there, and everywhere. You might be listening to somebody witnessing to you, and you have not yet made up your mind as to whether or not you're going to spend some time with the Lord and give him a chance in your life. Here is a chance for you to do it. The Lord is asking you to love him. The Lord is asking you to serve him. The Lord is asking you to give him a chance in your life. The Lord is pouring out his heart because he is on your side and he is on my side. But the Lord would give the two sides of the coin. The Lord would give the two sides of the coin. Listen to what verse 17 and 18 says. Deuteronomy chapter 30. 17 and 18. But if thy heart, again, the decision is made in the heart. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou will not hear what he said, meaning will not hear what he said in verse 16, but shall be drawn away and worship other God and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall prolong, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou possess over Jordan to go and possess it. Let me read that verse again. I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou passest over Jordan to go and possess it. The Lord is saying, look, if you refuse to hear and apply yourself to what I said here in verse 16, your days are going to be short. You are going to have problems. There is waiting judgment ahead. The Lord is giving us the two sides of the coin to make sure that he is not in the wrong. The Lord is patient. He is kind. And he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is on our side. And I see where, if we turn our backs to the Lord, as he said here in verse 17, but if thine heart turn away, if we turn our back to the Lord, it means that we are looking on another God. What God that might be? What God is that, that we have turned our backs upon this God? And if we turn our back, it means we are looking on another God. What God that might be? Is it the God of our car? Is it the God of our house? Is it the God of our job? Is it the God of our money? Is it the God of our fame? Is it the God of lust? Because the word said all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Is it the God of pride? What God is it that we are looking on so that we turn our backs upon the true and living God? We are facing a God. What God that is? You make the decision. What God is it that caused us not to see the true and living God? I must hurry because we're going to have breaking of bread service after this. But we see further where the Lord's heart is being poured out towards you and me. Let's look on two verses here. Verse 15 and verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 and verse 19. Let's see what the Lord is saying in these two verses. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. Let's jump down to verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Look at those two verses of scripture carefully. God, he's saying, I have given to you and me a choice. And there is one thing that we know as a fact. As great as God is, there is one thing God cannot touch in your life, nor mine. And that is the power of choice that he has given unto us. God will never override our choice. God will never. I have given you that power. It is yours. You need to use it according to how you see it. God has given to every man that ability. The power to make decisions. And so we choose where we live. We choose our friends. We choose our job. We choose our partner. We make decisions every single day about different things. It is our right. God has given that to us. And God has no intention in taking it back. It is our power. But in the same breath, listen to how the tender God, hallelujah, the mindful God, listen to how he operates. He said, despite the fact, hallelujah, despite the fact that you have the power of choice, I am going to make a suggestion. Hallelujah. He's saying, choose life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have the right not to choose life. You have the right not to choose death. God is saying to us, out of the tenderness of his heart, he's not taking away your choice, but he's encouraging you to choose life. But there is something else that is interesting here. There is something else that is interesting here. God said, I call, in verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. God is not leaving himself without a witness. Come on, church. God is not leaving himself without a witness.
Amen.
Why did he call heaven? Why did he call heaven? Hallelujah. Heaven is the dwelling place of God. Heaven is the dwelling place of the Trinity. But in addition to that, heaven is the dwelling place of all the angels. Oh. And why did I mention the angels here? This is important. Because in all of our services, in all of our services, the angels of God are in attendance. And I give you three reasons. I give you three reasons why we know that. One, the Bible tells us, and I come back to it, I quoted it earlier, in Psalms 34, verse 7, where the word tells us that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Now, the angel, given one angel per Christian, given that, one angel per Christian, it means regardless of how many Christians come to church, like in this service right now, every single believer in this service has a protected angel. This is what the word is saying. So that angel visits church along with us, witnessing, listening, seeing what is taking place. Because God has assigned that angel to you and to me as believers. Two. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we learn that angels attend our services. And we learn that because, especially from the adornment or adorning of our sisters, it may mention there that they are in the presence of the angels. In all the services, the angels, plural, the angels are in attendance. Read 1 Corinthians 11:10. The angels are in attendance of our services. Right now, there are countless angels who are listening, watching, and seeing what we are doing today in this service. And thirdly, the word tells us in St. Luke, in St. Luke 15, that the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repented. How did they know that a sinner is repented? Because they are part of the service. Because they are part of the service and they know the heart of men. Sometimes we preach and we don't know who it is that makes decision. We don't know where that person is. And after all, it might not necessarily be in the same day that the word is ministered, but it can have a lingering effect. The angels that are in attendance rejoice because they have seen that decision made. So when God said, I call heaven to witness against you, the body of angels that attend the church services are witnessing that God's word went forth to the hearing of every person. And the angels are a witness to the fact that his word was preached. Heaven, the body of heaven, witness to the fact. Hallelujah. And you see, we keep talking about the website for this church. And let me visit it just for a short time here. I bless God for it. Because when you and I are through here, when you and I are finished the service, the website takes over. And the website will push this sermon and any other sermon, for that matter, into the almost 195 nations of the world because by way of the internet. We don't know where God is using this message to change the heart of somebody. We don't know how God is working his way, because God's intention is that the word of God must reach every man. We cannot use the excuse to say it is in heaven and I can't reach it. We cannot use the excuse to say it is overseas and I can't get there. God is making it available to us. This website finds itself in the different places of the world to remind somebody of the goodness of God and of the mercies of God and of the grace of God and of the love of God, and to inform them that this great God is on our side. So God said, I set before you life and death. Choose life. The power of choice. When we think about, and I'm coming down, when we think about Lot, Abraham said to Lot, look, your herdsmen and mine not getting along because the place get too small for us. You make a decision as to where you go so that we might split up and then things might be better for both of us. Look around and when look at the beauty of the plain of Jordan. Lot decide that, look, I am going to go in this direction. But if you read Genesis 13 carefully, you're going to find that as beautiful as Jordan, the plain of Jordan, look, with its lush grass and all the rest of it, if you read it carefully down further, you are going to find that the word said, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. It's a choice that he made. He made a choice to go in that direction. Head towards Sodom. And God said in his word, it was a wicked place. And Lot eventually paid the consequence of that decision, which was not right. He made a decision. Decision was wrong. But he made a decision. God is saying to us, I am going to help you choose life. The writer to the Proverbs reminded us of something important. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, when he said, there's a way that seemeth right, but the end is the way of death. There's a way that seemeth right, but the end is the way of death. God is helping us here by saying, choose life. Because he is on our side. He's on our side.
Amen.
Choose life, God is saying. Choose life. And I trust to God that there is somebody here in this service who has thought about their commitment towards the Lord. And on this day, you have decided to choose life. God is saying, I want to help you choose life. And finally, we read in St. Matthew. Let's go to St. Matthew. St. Matthew chapter 7. I read from verse 13. Listen to what Jesus says here. Jesus says in verse 13, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go thereat, which go in thereat. Many people find this broad way. But listen to the next verse. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Hallelujah. Jesus is saying, few are finding life. But the vast majority of people are heading in the way to destruction. And that's why we are here on Sunday mornings and on Tuesday night preaching, encouraging all of us that we might choose life. Because God, in his mercy, has placed before us life and death. And then he says, I want to encourage you. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. What a merciful God. What a merciful God. Mm-hmm. Expressing his heart towards us. Expressing his desire towards us. I love you, according to John 3:16. And my desire is that you will choose life. My brother, my sister, my friend, I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know where you are physically. I don't know where you are spiritually. But all I'm saying to you this morning is that we serve a God that loves you. We serve a God that is on your side. We serve a God that is on our side. And that God is saying to us this morning, I have placed before you life and death. Choose life. And not only choose life, but choose life that you might live. Choose life that you might live. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many many find that broad way. But few people are finding the straight way that leads to life eternal. And I just want to leave with you one last passage of scripture here. Joshua 24 came to a place where I believe you as the head of your family, you as an individual needs to assess. Listen to what Joshua said here. And that is after making a personal assessment of the whole thing. Joshua 24, verse 15. Listen to what the brother said. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. To some people, serve in the Lord is not something that is on their mind. But Joshua is saying, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the God which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites, or the God of the Amorites. Or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Choose
this day
who you will serve. I have placed before you life and death, blessing and cursing. I have made it possible for you not to go up to heaven to get my word, because it is nigh unto you. I have made it possible for you not to go overseas to get my word, because it is nigh unto you. Therefore, I have arranged it to your convenience, for you to know my heart. And not only that, I am edging on your side, as you have the right to make a decision by saying to you, choose life.
Amen.
God must be true and every man a liar. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.